Today is the feast of St. Brigid of Ireland, and I went to Ireland last year, visited Knock and many of the other holy sites, and one of the pious practices or customs of the Irish people is to have these little crosses, believe that St. Brigid made them out of hay or whatever from the field, from something, and a very beautiful cross, and essentially it's believed to ward off against evil and famine and pestilence and all these different things. So a lot of people will put these St. Brigid crosses at the entrances of their homes. And so just so happened that the bag from Ireland fell over this morning on the feast of St. Brigid. And I said, well, I'll bring Father Heilman, one of them, because he loves spiritual warfare stuff, and maybe St. Brigid will be a new inspiration too. Well, I was very excited to receive the invitation from Father Heilman to join you tonight, and what a wonderful representation of a prayer group of men gathered in prayer this night. And so thank you so much for this invitation. I'd like to speak tonight about a place that maybe some of you already have been to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Health in Champion, Wisconsin, which is in my diocese, and believe that the Blessed Mother appeared there in 1859. Maybe just by a show of hands, how many have already been there to the shrine? So a good number of you. And so maybe tonight I'll present the message of Our Lady as she gave it to Adele in a new way, in a unique way for you to apprehend it and to really live this message that Mary gave to Adele. Mary has appeared over the course of many centuries, in fact, we could say millennia, because the very first apparition allegedly took place in Spain in the early 40s or 50s, with Mary still being alive. But that St. James was the missionary to Spain and to those people in those apostolic days. And as he went there, he became discouraged about the lack of gaining converts, of preaching the faith. And so it's said that Mary appeared to him in order to bolster his faith, in order to strengthen him in his apostolic zeal for the conversion of souls. So really, Mary has appeared for many, many years. Some of the great apparitions, of course, we know, Guadalupe or Lourdes or Fatima. And when Mary appears to the children, or in the case of Guadalupe, and even in Champion to adults, she speaks a message. And this message is one that often teaches, that Mary is trying to tell us something. When she appeared to Juan Diego in Guadalupe on Tepeyac Hill, for example, Mary came to teach Juan Diego so that he might teach the natives, the Indian people, that they might know who the true God is, that Jesus Christ is the God of who is living and true. When Mary appeared in Lourdes, France, she came in a teacher, and I go to Lourdes about once a year, and one of the things that a lot of the people there, those who work for the shrine, they always want to bring home the fact that when Mary appears to Bernadette, that she had not yet received First Communion. She was in the process of preparing for the reception of First Holy Communion. And so they say that Mary came to be her catechist, to be her teacher, to help her in that process of preparing to receive the sacraments. In Fatima, Mary comes to the little children, to the shepherd children, and teaches them different ways in which to pray, of course, emphasizing the prayer of the Holy Rosary, but also teaching them that prayer that now we say at the end of each decade, O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. But even more so, teaching them a prayer to, when they make sacrifice, to say, I do this out of love for you and for the salvation of souls. So Mary comes as a teacher of prayer. In Champion, when Mary appeared to Adele Brees in 1859, the apparitions began in the first days of October. Mary only spoke once, but she appeared three different times. The seer, as I mentioned, was Adele, and she came to the United States as an immigrant in 1855. For 4 years then, she lived with her family as they established their homestead, their farm, and she would do work for them. And on one day in October of 1859, in the very first few days, there she was, carrying a sack of grain, going to the grist mill. And as she was going along the Indian trail, she happened upon a woman who she described as a beautiful woman. But the woman didn't stay all that long. She quickly vanished. Adele was mesmerized by this event, and as she went home later that night, she shared it with her family and said, "This is what happened to me along the way. I saw a woman. She was there one moment, and then the next she wasn't." And so her family says, "Well, maybe it's a poor soul in purgatory in need of prayer." Oftentimes with the apparitions, in the case of Bernadette Subaru in Lourdes, the Fatima children, the children in Borang, the Dejembre and the Voisin children, and Bonneau, Mariette Becco, their parents met their claims with great speculation. They did not believe it to be true. They disbelieved. In fact, the mother of Lucia de los Santos and Fatima went to the grave not believing the events in the life of her daughter. And so for Adele's parents, they readily believe it. She's advanced in years. She wouldn't fabricate this. The next Sunday, then, Adele is on her way to the local church for Mass. She's there going with her sister, with another local neighbor woman, and as they're going along the way, again, they come to the same spot, marked by two trees, a maple and a hemlock tree, and again, she sees this woman. Again, the woman didn't say anything, and the woman quickly vanished. But now, since this was the second time, Adele knew that she needed to do something about that. And so, after Mass that day, she went to the parish priest and she said, "This is what I'm experiencing. What am I to do? How should I proceed with this?" And the priest gave her the following counsel, that if she was to see the woman again, that she should ask the woman, "In God's name, who are you? And what do you want of me?" As Adele walked home from the church that day, along that same trail and coming up to those same trees, the maple and the hemlock, again, Mary appears. And this time she asks that question, "In God's name, who are you and what do you want of me?" And this is when Mary begins to teach her lesson to Adele. These lessons that Mary taught are contained within the message as I've appropriated them from it. I think really not only are they lessons for Adele, but they're lessons for all of us. So the very first lesson of the message that Mary spoke is that she teaches who she is and what her heavenly mission is. So Adele says, "In God's name, who are you and what do you want of me?" And Mary says, "I am the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners." So she teaches us who she is and what her mission is, the Queen of Heaven. This is to hearken really to Old Testament biblical theology. It's called the Queen Mother. Dr. Edward Srie and Scott Hahn have written extensively on this image of the Queen Mother, that in the Old Testament, who was the queen? It wasn't the wife of the king, but it was the mother of the king. And so as Mary comes to Adele, she only continues to affirm her role as queen. "I am the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners," telling us what she does. And the role of the Queen Mother in biblical theology was really to advocate for the people, to intercede for them, to bring their needs before the king. And that's exactly what Mary does for us, that she prays for us. She presents us to the king, saying, "These are the people who are in need of conversion." That Mary now, who is assumed into heaven, that now she offers her own prayers to God. She constantly intercedes for us. Secondly, Mary invites us to participate, to join her in that mission. "I'm the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners, and I wish you to do the same." And so with that, an invitation to join Mary in that prayer. So often we ask the intercession of Mary. We do so in the Rosary. We do so in other Marian prayers, the novenas. We say, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, and so forth. And so we ask her always to pray for us, but now, in a sense, Mary is coming to Adele, and she's saying to her, I want you to pray with me, that as I'm praying to the Father in heaven, as I'm praying to my Son and bringing you and interceding and advocating for you, well, I want you to do the same thing. Pray for the conversion of sinners. In our own lives, maybe we know who those people are. Of course, first, I think that conversion that we pray for is our very own conversion. And tonight, many of you have had the opportunity to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, in which we acknowledge our need to say that I've fallen short of what God asks of me. And so now I seek God's mercy and forgiveness. And now I'm going to reform my life. I'm going to try to convert even more so that I might conform myself more closely to the Lord. Maybe it's someone in our family, a child, someone who might be away from the practice of the faith. Could be someone else, a friend, or even now we pray especially, I think, for the conversion of some of the politicians, those who are advocating for infanticide. So there are lots of different areas in which we pray for conversion in our own lives, in our family, in the life of the world. Mary wants us to join her in that mission of bringing those people to her so that she might present them and intercede and obtain that grace of conversion for those for whom we pray. Maybe the third lesson that Mary teaches and championed to Adele is that she promotes the sacraments of the church. I'm the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners, and I wish you to do the same. You received Holy Communion this morning, and that is well, but you must do more. Make a general confession and offer your communion for the conversion of sinners. So Mary promotes the sacraments. Isn't this the case in many of the Marian apparitions? That when Mary appears, she says to the visionary, go and ask for a church to be built. Now, that actually wasn't the case when Mary appeared to Adele. She didn't say, go and have a church built, but by the very nature of emphasizing the sacramental life of the church, of confession, of Eucharist, we could see the role of the sacramental life there. And so Mary promotes the sacraments. She wants us to go to confession. She wants us to receive the Eucharist. And really, this is the source of all Marian devotion, that as she promotes the sacraments, she's directing us to her Son. She's directing us to Jesus. Never does she want to draw the attention to herself, but always to direct us to the Lord. How to pray for the conversion of sinners. We can pray, yes, in our words, in however we pray, praying the rosary, but Mary says, offer your communion for the conversion of sinners. In a sense, this really gets to some sacramental theology, that when Mary says this, just we could recall, for instance, when we come to Mass, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. So that the sacrifice of the Mass, we join our prayers to it. That as the Mass is offered for an intention, we offer our own intentions. We join our intentions to that of the priest who is celebrating the Mass. Even just a few moments ago in the prayer of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we prayed, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son. And so we made that spiritual offering to the Lord, an atonement for the sins of the world. So as Mary promotes the sacraments, she gives us a key of how we can offer our Holy Communion, especially for the conversion of sinners. In the fourth lesson, kind of dovetailing from this confession, from the Eucharist, Mary prepares us spiritually for mission. That as the message goes on, Adele is going to be entrusted with a very active mission. She's going to gather children. She's going to teach them. But really, as Mary comes and says, I pray for the conversion of sinners. I want you to do the same. She's really preparing Adele for the mission first by a spiritual way in order to acknowledge herself, I'm a sinner, I need God's mercy, and then to pray that as she was going to go about, as she would teach the children, as she would gather them and prepare them for the sacraments, well, she needs to pray in advance for those people. And so as she offers her communion, that is precisely what she's doing. In a sense, already preparing herself for the mission that she is going to embark upon. In the fifth lesson that Mary gives, she gives us a warning. So as the message goes on, Mary says, if they do not convert and do penance, my son will be obliged to punish them. So there is this chastisement language. Some people actually, as this part of the message has been shared, they often, depending upon the congregation or the group hearing it, sometimes they'll dismiss the apparition based upon this message. I was giving an academic presentation one time at a conference, and in the question and answers, someone spoke up and said, that part of the message is troublesome to me because it doesn't reconcile with the fact that God is love and mercy and forgiveness. And so the chastisement language sometimes can be a hindrance to people. But I think really what Mary says is, if they do not convert and do penance, my son will be obliged to punish them. In a sense, it's inviting us to change our ways. She's saying it doesn't have to be that this doesn't have to happen, that if we simply begin to live the gospel message of Jesus as he called people to conversion and repentance, well then this won't happen because we're conforming our lives to the Lord. As Mary gives that warning, as she prays for the conversion of sinners, maybe tonight we say, well, what is it in my life that I need to experience conversion? How is it that I can change in order to be more pleasing to the Lord? And so Mary gave that warning. Now, there was a fire that broke out, and so one of the most devastating fires in United States history, it occurred on October 8th of 1871. Mary appeared to Adele, spoke this message on October 9th of 1859. So it's the very eve of the anniversary when this fire breaks out, and it begins to threaten the chapel that had been built, the school that the children were learning in. And so all these people from the area began to flock there. And so they prayed, asking Mary's intercession. Some people have asked, well, was the fire, was that the chastisement? And was that the punishment? Maybe it was. But I don't know if we can say with certitude that it was. But of course, I think maybe to look and to read in between the lines there and to come to a conclusion ourselves about that fact. Mary, or Adele rather, was on that day, she was joined by her sister and by a neighbor woman. And as Adele is there speaking to the woman, of course, those who are with her don't understand. They don't comprehend what is happening. And so they ask Adele, who is it? Why can't we see her as you do? In this response that Mary gives, she gives us the sixth lesson. She commends us for our faith. She says to Adele, or Adele tells the women with her, kneel. The woman says she's the Queen of Heaven. Then the women knelt, and Mary, quoting the sacred scriptures, says, blessed are they who believe without seeing. I think this is a very important phrase that Mary speaks. Firstly, because Mary is quoting the words of her son. She knows the words of Jesus, as they're recorded in sacred scripture. But also, as Mary says this, blessed are they who believe without seeing. Today, just as many of you have gone to the shrine, many people flock there. They go there to pray and to seek Mary's intercession. They go there because maybe they have had a cancer diagnosis, and so they're in search of a healing. Or they go there because they have some other need that they want to petition God for. And so they go and they kneel down and they light a candle and they pray. And in a sense, as they do so, they should recall the words of Our Lady, quoting her son, "Blessed are they who believe without seeing." Because really, they accept the testimony of the Belgian immigrant, of Adele, the story that she told and the events that happened in her life. They believe it, even without having seen it themselves. And so they visit the shrine because they have that faith that truly what was said to have happened really did occur. And as many people have experienced healings and graces received, that it is a place that prayer does get answered. Then after this, Mary says to Adele, "Why are you standing here in idleness while your companions are working in the vineyard of my son?" Maybe that's the seventh lesson. Don't be idle. When Adele was a young girl, when she made her first Holy Communion, she had entered into a pact with her friends, her companions. And so they said that they would join a religious order, they would work in the foreign missions. Now, Adele, at the age of 24, is immigrating to the United States, and so she didn't join a religious order in Belgium. She accompanies her family. But yet, as she's here in the United States, as she makes her home in Wisconsin, she's in a foreign land. And now she can have that vocation that she promised God on her first Holy Communion. Don't be idle. Why are you standing here in idleness while your companions are working in the vineyard of my son? I think oftentimes in our own lives, sometimes we might delay in doing something. We might say, well, I have tomorrow that I can do this. Tomorrow is when I'm going to change my life. But of course, we know that we're not really promised tomorrow. And so really, it's a call, an invitation not to delay, but to embrace the call to conversion in this moment. Next month, in March, we'll begin our season of Lent on Ash Wednesday. And so some people might say, I didn't really do my New Year's resolutions. I didn't carry through with them. And so I'm going to start over on Ash Wednesday. But why not start today? Why wait to deepen our relationship with God, to take action in our spiritual life and our love of God and neighbor? Why delay when we can do it today? There are many stories of the saints. Adele isn't a saint, but her story surely can inspire us. But as we hear the stories of many of the other saints in our Catholic tradition, how they dedicated their lives to God, as we celebrate their memorials, their feast days throughout the year, maybe they stir us to action, to love God and to love neighbor. And when we're inspired by their lives, well, then it's no longer are we idle, but we're truly doing the work of God. The eighth lesson, I think, is one that comes from Adele's response, but it really speaks to the people that Mary chooses for a mission. Because Adele's response to that question is, well, what am I supposed to do? I know so little myself. And so I think Mary uses the simple. Some people might say, I don't know if I can do this work of evangelization. I don't know how it is that I can do anything for the Lord except what I'm doing right now. And so God uses the simple and small ways that we wish to give ourselves back to Him. Mary, when she has appeared, often has appeared to the unintelligent. Adele had a very meager education. She was sickly. She had lost the sight in one eye. Her face was disfigured. When she appeared to Bernadette, she was a sickly little girl who didn't know much, who really wasn't admitted to the sacraments because of the lack of her knowledge. Or she appeared to the shepherd children. And so Mary chooses the simple, and really all of us, no matter who we are, no matter our education, I think God wants to use us in this mission of evangelization, of spreading the gospel in our families, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our parish communities. And so maybe we ask, how is it that God wants to use me, no matter my qualifications? Because Adele did not feel qualified to do God's work. Mary told Adele, and this is the ninth lesson, but she tells Adele to gather the children in this wild country and to teach them what they need to know for salvation. I think the lesson here is that Mary wants conversion through action. Yes, we can pray for conversion, and that's good, but maybe there's something more that we need in order to be converted ourselves. And so through some sort of active process, conversion can be facilitated. For Adele, this process was to teach the children what they needed to know for salvation. Maybe with the church, maybe there's things that sometimes we don't know, like maybe we struggle with a teaching, but maybe the invitation isn't to ignore it, as some people might want, but it's to learn, to read the documents. You know, statistically, many people have a problem with Paul VI's Humanae Vitae. But the people who raise issue about this document of the Holy Father, of blessed Paul VI, well, have they read it? Have they tried to come to understand the reason why he said what he said about contraception? Have they turned to Dr. Janet Smith, for example, and her magnificent teachings on the church's teaching on this? Mary wants conversion through action, and so maybe it's through learning, through reading, through lessons that we hear, through Catholic radio, or whatever the case might be, that our conversion will begin to happen. I know that through Catholic radio, I do a lot of work with EWTN, and so I know lots of people have experienced conversion through the teachings of Mother Angelica or with relevant radio here in Wisconsin, that as people listen to these Catholic radio stations and programs, it brings about conversion. It helps them to understand the teachings of the church and to embrace what the Lord Jesus taught. Mary gives a method of evangelization, the tenth lesson. So Mary says, gather the children, teach them what they need to know for salvation, how to make the sign of the cross, how to approach the sacraments. This is what I wish you to do. Go and fear nothing. So the method is to teach the children. In the story of Adele and the apparition that she received and the kind of the life situation of the local community there, in the Belgian settlement in the Door Peninsula at the time of the apparition, many of the Belgian immigrants were falling away from the practice of the faith. They weren't coming to Mass. They weren't praying. They weren't going to church. In fact, if we listen to the story of the apparition, Adele was accompanied by her sister and a neighbor. Well, where were her parents? Had they gone to an earlier Mass, or had they fallen victim to what had happened? One of the priests of the Green Bay Diocese, or serving in that area at the time, wrote to one of the priests in Belgium and said, are there any priests who can accompany the people because they're falling away from the practice of the faith? They're becoming lackadaisical. And so really, as Mary gives this teaching to Adele and commissions her to be a teacher of the children, well, maybe this is a method of evangelization. Throughout the church, many people aren't going to Mass. Statistically, that's what we've been told, and that's true in what we've seen. that maybe families will send their children to religious ed, but they're not going to church on Sunday. They're not practicing the faith and praying in the home. But maybe this is a formula of evangelization that Mary gives, to reach the parents through the children. After the apparition, one of the principal ways that Adele lived this vocation that she was given in the first few years was to go around the area, walking from home to home, instructing the children. She would tell the families, "I'll do some simple chores if you'll simply let me teach the children what they need to know for salvation." And so as she told that story of the apparition, as she taught them the faith, as she taught them the catechism, well, she was reaching the family as well. And maybe in our churches, if the children are ignited with great faith in the Lord, well, then that's going to trickle down and reach their families, bringing them back to confession and to Sunday Eucharist. It's often the case sometimes when a young person might go off to college, we know many of them might lose their faith, but through the great work of Newman Centers, many of them are still practicing the faith. They're going to focus conferences. They're doing all these different faith-based activities with focus and other groups of evangelization. And then in that deepening of their relationship with God, they begin to hear a call maybe to the priesthood, to the religious life, or they simply become holier and happier people. And their families begin to see this, and maybe that sparks a conversion within their own home. That when the daughter joins the convent or the son enters the seminary, that their parents say, "Well, what is it that my son or daughter is doing?" And maybe that's the moment in which they seek to come to know the Lord Jesus all the more. And so through this method of evangelization through children, maybe that's how the generation that might be lost begins to receive the good news of salvation. In the apparition, not only does Mary give a method of evangelization, but she tells us the lesson plan. Teach them what they need to know for salvation, their catechism, how to make the sign of the cross, how to approach the sacraments. Really, that's what she wants them to do. And for us now, in our own parishes and all that we do, we know it's all about salvation. And so perhaps it's an invitation in religious ed programs and Catholic schools to ask the question, is what we're doing accomplishing the salvation of souls? And maybe if it's not, it's time to look at it and to say, well, maybe we need to do something different. Mary says, teach them their catechism. In our catechism today, it talks about the commandments. It talks about prayer, formation in the spiritual life. How to approach the sacraments? Well, that's how to make a good and holy confession. It's how to receive the Eucharist, how to prepare ourselves for that, praying before and after, how to reverently receive Holy Communion. And so Mary teaches this and gives a lesson plan to Adele that really now we too have received, that we can teach also in a similar way. In the final lesson that I've derived from the message that Mary spoke, Mary says, "Go and fear nothing, for I will help you." Mary surely did promise help to Adele, and in her life, Adele called upon that help of Mary's intercession. Surely she relied upon the mediation of grace as she walked around the peninsula in cold and rain and snow as she brought the good news to others. Imagine walking in the weather that we just experienced in order to fulfill the mission that Mary gave. Adele experienced help as she was invited or told by a local priest to found a group of sisters and to form a school so that the children might be taught there. And so as they became poor at times, when they didn't have anything left to feed them or didn't know how they were going to pay their next bills, They went to the church and they prayed, and inevitably what they prayed for would always come. There was help on that night of the Peshgo fire, that as it began to threaten the area and as people flocked there in prayer, as they carried the statue of Mary around the grounds and prayed the rosary, that on that night in which they should have suffocated by the very nature of the smoke inhalation, they didn't perish. And on that morning of October 9th of 1871, 12 years after the apparition, as they look out and around the area, they realize that the fire had passed over them, that they were standing on holy ground that had been preserved by the intercession of Mary. There was a priest of a heretical sect in the area where Adele lived in the early 1880s and into the 90s. He was seeking to take away from the church of getting converts to his sect, and so Adele fervently prayed, seeking his conversion. And by the end of his life, Rene Vallot converted and took up a life of penance at a Cistercian abbey in France. Truly, Mary did help and offered that help for Rene Vallot. The title venerated at the shrine is one that is not connected to the apparition. They call it the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. Mary says, "I'm the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners," and really the only semblance of help comes when Mary says, "Go and fear nothing. I will help you." And so today, people have gone to the shrine and they seek Mary's help in all the different instances and experiences of their life, asking for the grace to be a holier person, to fulfill God's plan for their life, for some miraculous healing or cure. The devotion to Our Lady of Good Help is one that is ancient. It goes back at least to the 1300s in the written record, spanning different countries, from Belgium to France to Canada. And so it's a devotion very rich. It was one that was known to Adele in her own native land of Belgium, venerated in Notre Dame des Bons Secours. And the people would build little roadside chapels all throughout the country in order to be able to pray and ask Mary's intercession. And that's why Adele, out of her own devotion from her Belgian heritage, dedicates the chapels that were built to the intercession of Our Lady of Good Help. But truly a fitting title, as Mary really did show that good help to her all throughout her life. Mary came to Adele and really gave a great lesson about who she is and what she does and what she wants us to do. And so we allow Mary to teach us through the stories of her apparitions and the messages she gave. But we allow her to teach us in so many different ways, especially as we sit in the school of Mary in what John Paul II would call the Rosary, that we sit and we contemplate with her the face of Christ, that as we journey with her through the life of Christ and the Rosary mysteries we pray, she teaches us so much. Obedience to God's will and surrendering to the will of God, she teaches us humility, attentiveness to the needs of others. And so we look to her life and to her example to continue to teach us not only today, but really every day. So tonight, as Our Lady has taught us through the message that she spoke to Adele, we allow her to be our teacher throughout our life, that she might teach us how to love God and neighbor, that she'll teach us how to get to heaven, and so that now, this day and every day, as we rely upon her prayers now, as we join her in prayer in the ways in which she prays to the Father in heaven, we know that she's teaching us all these lessons so that one day we might be happy with her and with all the saints as we adore the face of God forever. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you tonight.